113095 USA versus Mornudin. Hi, Mr. Tanner. Come on up.
Thank you, Judge Roebner. May it please the court, counsel. I know it's been a long morning. This case presents a fairly stark...
This is our job.
I know, and mine too. This case presents, I think, a pretty stark and relatively simple question about whether Mr. Moynihan's constitutional rights were honored on September 8, 2011, when he stood before the district court to be sentenced.
Did he even meet with the other attorney before the sentencing hearing?
You know, that's one of the many things we really can't be sure of on the record, Judge, and that's kind of one of the problems here is...
Sure appears like he was seeking a continuance for the first time to explore,
I think it's clear that he was seeking a continuance for the first time. Whether he had met with the counsel, whether members of his family had met with the counsel, it's the real problem here is that...
Did anybody ever suggest what a new lawyer would have done? Just his mere presence was going to make this guy feel better? I understand the right to counsel, to pick your own counsel, but you can't manipulate the system by playing that game. I want to know what difference it would have made to the defendant in terms of how it came out if he had Clarence Darrow leap in at that stage of the game. Assuming Clarence Darrow was still alive.
Yeah, I don't know. Judge, I'm stuck with the record, much like you are.
Yeah. Nobody ever mentioned what purpose was served by this.
Nobody ever mentioned much of anything, and here's the problem.
Unclear on the record is he shows up late. When everybody's ready to go, the government's got witnesses, and what he did do is manage to irritate the hell out of the judge, which is not a very bright thing to do.
I'm not even sure how, the government makes the representation that he showed up late. The hearing was originally set for 10 a.m.
You mean there's a doubt as to whether he showed up late?
All I know, yes, there is. All I know is the case got called, and he
and
was
he
not
was
there.
He passed on the call. He wasn't there?
The judge said, I'll pass it for a few minutes. I don't know, Judge.
His lawyer said he's not here, and I told him to be here. He said he would be here. So the judge then passes it on the call.
He said, I'll pass it for a few minutes.
So let's say that he was late.
Okay. If anything, the judge said, we'll pass it for a few minutes, and the next thing you know from looking at the record, he's there.
Say how long? I just said he was late.
I've been in courtrooms where district courts come out and call things before they even come up, and the lawyer steps up and says someone's not here, so I don't know.
I've been in courtrooms myself, but we're talking about this case.
What I'm saying is you can't tell from this case whether he was late or not. The government says he was, but...
Let's say he wasn't very late and go with that.
Okay. Maybe he did irritate the court judge, but he's still a man, a defendant, in a case in front of a United States court.
But I want to know what... One of the things you have to demonstrate is that something went awry, and I don't know what it was.
I'll tell you what it was. What it was is that...
The judge was impatient and didn't put it over.
Maybe so. Certainly nobody did it. This guy is standing there in a courtroom getting ready to get sent away to prison. He doesn't have a friend in the world. His own lawyer, his appointed lawyer, seems to pretty much toss him under the bus with her very flip comments about this lawyer being out on a golf course or something.
Was that true or false?
I have no idea.
Well, we would certainly like to believe that, as an officer of the court, she wouldn't have made that up.
Oh, I don't imagine that she made it up, but her... Her level of pique was unmistakable, just reading it on the page.
She's been taking care of the guy for 2 years, and he comes in and says, I don't like you anymore. Women don't like that.
I don't think much of anybody likes that, Judge.
Gender rug rears its ugly head.
I'm not going there.
You're not going there.
I am not going there. Mm-mm. Where I'd like to go is that this is a man who had rights. This court has held again and again. Here's what we look at in this situation. We look at the circumstances, and we look at the reasons stated by the district judge. We have no opportunity to know what the circumstances are because when Judge Norgel addresses this defendant, he says, what is it that you would like to say? He makes no effort to understand what the problem is. And even at that, He does manage to get out that he wants proper counsel, that he wants someone who he thinks can do a better job for him and get him true justice. Now, Judge Bauer, was that really out there for him, or was he just panicking before he got sentenced? He was not gaming the system. There's no history of him gaming the system here. This was not a case that was characterized by delays. I think it was incumbent upon the district court to find out what was going on here, and that seemed something the district court was very much not interested in doing. And one of the most astonishing things I've ever read in a transcript is when the judge says to this man, if you have anything else to say, say it. Otherwise, you're going to continue with your appointed counsel. And the defendant says, I'm sorry, Judge, can you repeat that? And the district judge says to him, no. Nobody was trying to establish what the problem was here. Mr. Moynihan was trying his best, but he's not a lawyer, and he's in a very difficult situation. And
he's
if
in
the
a
case
tight
law
spot, no question about that.
What's that?
He's in a tight spot. He was about to be sentenced.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
Nothing to make you feel. Where is he now, by the way?
I think he's in Minnesota somewhere.
Pardon?
Minnesota at a federal facility.
And this Mr. Pernelli, he gave the name of the guy, but there was no motion to supplement. There was nothing that happened at the district court after this or anything from Pernelli indicating his status.
No, there was none. He was sentenced that day and got a day to report to custody. But if we are to look at the circumstances of the case as well as the reasons stated by the district court, there can be no doubt that there were no reasons stated by the district court. You know, many of the cases that we look at that are cited in both sides' briefs on this involve potential delays just before a trial. And we all know that a delay of a trial is a major, major proposition. You've got witnesses.
Well,
you've got
because of witnesses and so on. But there was a witness brought in for this hearing.
You know what? There was one. But if you look on appendix page 16, Judge Norgal wasn't even aware of that fact yet because after he denies the motion, he asks later, he says, oh, is there? Do you have witnesses you wish to put on today? So there was no indication that the district judge gave any weight to what Mr. Moynihan was trying to do or gave any weight to why it was that this hearing had to be held today. By all appearances, it looks like it was about a 40-minute hearing. If Mr. Moynihan could have brought in new counsel and had him ready for a hearing, a week or two later, it probably would have made no difference in things. As a matter of fact, the judge gave him, 80, 90 days to report for custody. There was clearly no rush to get him locked up. There was no basis on the record for concluding that the district judge weighed anything in making the decision to deny this request. And it seems to me that under this court's holdings, when there's no basis for concluding that the district judge weighed the various, weighed the issues on both sides, that's arbitrary by its very nature. If it's arbitrary, it's a violation of the Sixth Amendment. So accordingly, we would ask that the case be remanded for further sentencing proceedings with retained counsel.
Thank you. Right, who've we got? Mr. Harjani, hi. Still morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Sunil Harjani for the United States. Your Honor, the District Court did not abuse its discretion in denying this defendant's last-minute request for delay of the sentencing hearing that happened
what
at the beginning.
What would he have lost by that, acquiescing in point, letting him bring in another lawyer?
Your Honor, I think you have to look at the circumstances. First of all, both the defense counsel and the government were ready to proceed. The judge was ready to proceed, and there was a victim who was present who was scheduled to testify and talk about. So that would have essentially disrupted the proceedings that were scheduled to have happened and had been scheduled for quite some time.
If he had broken his leg on the way there, the same thing would have happened. I'm just modestly curious as to what would have been lost by granting the motion.
I think partly it would have been that situation to have been scheduled for quite some time. And on top of that, the court has recognized that there has to be a justifiable basis before a last-minute request like that is granted.
But the court never got to find out what the justifiable basis was because the man was not even given an opportunity to explain. He didn't ask him why he wanted new counsel, and he said no when the defendant asked him to repeat what he said. So
yes,
he never got a chance to say anything. And this isn't somebody who was shown out in court repeatedly or was on his third lawyer. You know, it I mean, I'm with Judge Bauer on this. I don't understand what the problem was. And it, according to counsel, the district court didn't even know the witness was there for the sentencing at the time that he did this.
But my best guess is he probably dang well knew that the witness was there. I mean, you look around your own apartment. But I don't know what difference it would have made. The witness could have come back.
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, I think, first of all, to your point about what the record shows about what the district judge said, the district judge did say, if that is all you're going to say, that all you want is proper counsel, if that's all you're going to say, I'm going to deny your motion and keep you with your court-appointed counsel.
But he asked, and then he asked the court to explain it or asked him to repeat it, and the court said no. And then wouldn't it have been helpful if the assistant U.S. attorney had said, well, you know, it might make a better record, Judge, if you let the defendant say why he wants new counsel.
No, it was brief.
I mean, that would be, I mean, because this was the first time he'd even asked. I mean, we don't even know why he wanted new counsel.
Correct.
He is not a lawyer. So to say I want proper counsel, what does that mean? And he wasn't even given a chance to explain it.
Well, Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree with the chance to explain, because he was asked by Judge Noriko, say what you need to say. And all he said was, I just need proper counsel. And that was it. Beyond that, I think the circumstances of the district judge, he could have repeated it, but what it showed was his skepticism. He was skeptical because the defendant appeared late. He had ample time to bring this issue to the court's attention.
Where did the golf game come from? Did he say it was by a lawyer's playing golf? Or?
It appears that he had communicated that to
his
lawyer, and his lawyer told the court that this new lawyer can't be here because he's playing golf. And I think the record shows that...
You know, if you're a real heavy golfer, which I am not, it might be a splendid excuse, but I mean...
Correct, Your Honor. This new lawyer, if this was a serious request, this is what would have happened. The new lawyer would have sent a representative if he couldn't be there. He could have filed a motion to substitute counsel.
I assume no new lawyer ever appeared on the scene.
No. Even today, this lawyer is not here.
No, he didn't look like a golfer.
Right.
And
the other point for the skepticism is that the defendant had court-appointed counsel for 2 years. Today, he has two court-appointed counsel. This was supposed to be a private counsel that he was retained, that has a record shows he was scheduled to meet with it later that day. So it's not clear that this lawyer was retained, and the district court had no assurance that this new lawyer would even be retained. This defendant had 5 months from the change of plea hearing to the sentencing hearing, in which he could have brought this issue to the attention of any lawyer, his lawyer,
How
the new lawyer.
How much prior to this event had been a change of plea?
The change of plea was 5 months ago, Your Honor.
So between the time of the change of plea and the events we're worried about were 5 months.
Correct. And there was no indication that he was dissatisfied with his current lawyer. Certainly not with the court-appointed lawyer. You can see her surprise about this issue in the record. Certainly not with government counsel, who was never informed by anyone that a new lawyer wanted to come in. Again, no motions filed, no representative coming in to say that he wants to take over the case. And that hasn't even happened here today. The other thing about what the court has looked at is whether or not the defendant had provided any what explanation the defendant provided to the court. And that was what the district court was faced. What is this defendant saying about why he wants new counsel? And all he heard was, I need proper counsel, and I believe another counsel can get me true justice. There was nothing about a breakdown in communication, which is often the situation when a court says, okay, now it's time to change counsel. That didn't happen here. They were vague and brief statements. And under those circumstances, those are the kind of circumstances where the court has said, that is not enough, particularly at the last minute, particularly with briefs having filed and a witness present, that is not sufficient.
So was there be any problem to just take a short recess so he could caucus with his lawyer that had represented him for 2 years to get more to the bottom of it and then just recall the case?
You know, that could have happened, but there was that recess before the case was recalled, in which the defense counsel and the lawyer had that opportunity to caucus and talk about the situation. So what we saw in the record is
result. No, but that wasn't raised initially. Case is called, he doesn't show. That's
correct.
It. Okay, so now he raises in front of Norgal, he wants new counsel. I'm saying a short recess then between the appointed counsel and the defendant to try to get to the bottom of it or to shed some light, because defense counsel doesn't say much about it either other than he's not available.
Correct.
He's playing golf.
That could have happened, and in hindsight, that could have been a way to handle the situation. But I think we have to look at what the district court was faced with. A defendant that came late. This new counsel is not present. There's no motion present. The defendant hasn't met with his new counsel. And everything's been filed and ready to proceed. And even this court-appointed counsel had filed her sentencing memorandum 6 days prior. Even at that time, there was no indication whatsoever that this defendant was unhappy with his current court-appointed counsel. So even in the Harris case, which I point the court to, the court recognized that the situation wasn't ideal. Still, the standard is abuse of discretion, and the standard is, did the defendant make that justifiable request? And in this circumstances, we ask you to find there was no abuse of discretion. We ask you to affirm the conviction and sentence below.
Thank you very much. How much time? 1 minute. Come on up. 1 minute. Oh.
Do it with a minute. Judge Williams, in answer to your question, by the way, when the case was called the first time and Mr. Moynihan was not in the room, counsel indicated to Judge Norgel that the client had indicated he needed some time with her. And when the case got recalled, Judge Norgel did ask her, have you had sufficient time to confer with your client? And she indicated that she had. But, Mr. Harjani indicates that this hearing had been set for some time. It was set on August 17th. It was about 3 weeks prior. It had been moved two times previous. I think the government says in its brief it was by agreement of the parties. That's actually not clear of record either. It may have been sua sponte. Looking at the docket sheet, one would think it was sua sponte. But certainly no pattern of delay by Mr. Moynihan. It would have been so easy. We talk about having a minute here. It would have been easy with the minute there to say, Mr. Moynihan, have you met with this new counsel? Has he agreed to take your case? Has he given an indication of how much time he would need? Those would be things that would be so helpful to have. And when you don't have them, are you going to put it on him, or are we going to put it on our system that I think ought to show better respect for that than somebody's constitutional rights? So we would ask that the matter be reversed and remanded. Thank you for your time, Your Honors.
And speaking of respect, we respect you for having taken this case.
Thank you, Judge. My pleasure. My privilege.
Appointed attorney in doing such a fine job for your client. So thank you, Mr. Tanner, very much. And thank you, government. You always do a fine job. And the case will be taken under advisement. Court is in recess until Monday morning at 9:30. Goodbye, everyone.